great to see everyone this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. So who's going apple picking? Who's going to get some apples? Who's going to make me an apple pie afterwards? Ted, thank you. So this is week 2 of our What We're Building series, a series all about Awaken, our vision, our mission, what it is that we're doing here, why we exist, where we're moving, the type of community that we're becoming, type of community that we are, but also that we're becoming, because everything, all of us, we're in this endless process of becoming. And so my goal for these 4 weeks is to talk all about Awaken. So started Awaken 7 years ago in my living room, and it's changed quite a bit since then. And so the vision that I had originally sort of put together, it morphed a little bit. And so over the past couple of months, I've been sitting with it, thinking about it, and I started changing some of the vision a little bit based off of where we are as a church. And so that's what I'm doing here over the next couple of weeks, is talking through what this vision is, who we are at Awaken, so that we can all be on the same page together, so that we all know where we're moving and where we're heading. And so last week, we talked about our mission, which is forming disciples of Jesus. And if you were here, we talked about being covered in the dust of a rabbi. So we talked all about modern-day rabbis. Anyone remember who the number one modern-day rabbi was? Justin Bieber. Yeah. So we talked all about, I don't even know where to go from there. What do you say? So we talked all about the rabbinic tradition and what Jesus as a rabbi, what that would have meant for the first disciples, for the first followers, and talked about what that meant for us in our lives, and then asked some questions about whose dust are we being covered in, because one of the blessings that developed was, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you be following so closely behind your rabbi, the person that you're looking to for wisdom and guidance, that you are covered in the dust that is kicked up from his sandals. And so we explored what that all meant for us in our lives. And so over these next couple of weeks, there's three ways that we are forming disciples of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to talk about the first way in which we are doing that here at Awaken. And the first way is welcoming others into God's love. Welcoming others into God's love. So how are we forming disciples? Well, we're doing it by welcoming others into God's love. And now there's all sorts of different things. There's all sorts of different places that we could go. I actually, when I started outlining this, I realized as I was going through that I had three different sermons. So we're going to just do back to back to back. It's going to be a marathon. So we'll do one sermon, take a break, do another, take a break. Sound good? No one's laughing. That was a joke. Okay, thank you, Josh. So we'll just explore this a little bit today, and then obviously there's so much more that could be said about all these different topics. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is how do you become a person of welcome and love? How do you live your life in such a way that others feel welcomed and loved simply by being in your presence? Now, we want to create this type of community here at Awaken, but it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Because we want to be the type of people where when others experience our presence, when others are with us, they would feel welcomed and loved. And it starts here when people walk through the door for the first time, whether they're a first-time visitor or whether it's someone who's been here for 5 years or from 7 years. But it also extends beyond that to how it is that we show up in our neighborhoods, how we show up at work, with our families, friends, the people that are the closest to us, the ones that we care the most about. How do we become people of welcome and love for everyone that we pass by on a regular daily basis? Now, in order to talk about this, I need to show you a story of Jesus. In order to talk about what this looks like and some of the practicalities of it for us in our lives, I have to show you a story of Jesus. So Luke chapter 7, and we're going to pick it up right in verse 11. soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. Isn't that a great way to be greeted at a town? Anyone ever experienced that? You go into a town, you're greeted by a dead person? And so it's the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. Now, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And then he went up, and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. Notice, they're in complete shock, like, what is this guy doing? Completely still, wondering, why is he approaching us? Why is he touching the coffin? And then he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk. Don't you just wish it was that easy? Get up. Well, hey, how's it going? And Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." Now here's Jesus. And he's approaching the town, the village of Nain. And all of a sudden, as he's approaching this town, he sees a funeral procession heading straight towards him. And what he notices is that in the front, there is a woman who seems to be by herself. Yes, there's a crowd of people following her, but she's by herself. And Luke tells us the reason why she's by herself is because she's a widow, she has no husband, and her only son has died. Luke makes it a very important part of the story here, almost as if to draw our attention to this fact, saying this is a tragedy. Because this woman is now left on her own to provide for herself. She's going to have to depend on public charity in order to survive in life. She has no husband any longer, and she has no sons who can help her make her way through the world. This begins as a tragedy. Jesus witnesses her. He sees her. He stops the procession. He gets up right in front of it, slows everybody down. He goes to the mother. He comforts her. Then he goes over to the coffin, which at this point everyone's like mouths dropped open, like, because if you're a rabbi or if you're a good Jewish person, you do not go anywhere near a dead body because then you would be considered unclean and you couldn't actually enter into a town. You'd be considered unclean and had to stay outside of the town for whether it was a day or possibly an entire week. And so Jesus breaks all these customs. He goes up, touches the coffin, and then speaks to the young boy who has just died. This would have been an entire breach of Jewish custom. You do not do this. You didn't do it back then, and you surely don't do it today. Could you imagine the scene? Imagine this. You're driving down the highway, and on the other side of the street, you see a hearse with a whole bunch of cars with their lights blinking following the hearse. And so somehow, some way, you get in front of the entire procession, and you stand in the front. Maybe you have flares. Maybe you have an orange vest on. Whatever you need, and you start waving people down, you're shooting flares in the sky, whatever you have to do to stop this thing. You go into the limo that's probably in the front there where the family is, and you go and you comfort the family. And then you go and you approach the coffin, and you place your hands on the coffin, and you start speaking to the dead person. Chances are, if you were to go and do that this afternoon, you would be locked up. You would be handcuffed, you'd be hauled away, you'd be taken somewhere very, very far away where no one would ever speak to you ever again. You just don't do this. So imagine this scenario here. Jesus is approaching this town. Now, Luke tells us that this happened soon afterward. If we were to go back in the story, we find out that Jesus was right before this in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum to Nain was a distance of 25 miles. If we go to the next slide, I got a little map for you. 25 miles from Capernaum to Nain. This would have been a full day's journey. There's no limos, there's no Uber. You can't hop on a bus, you can't hop on the 6 train to go across. None of that. You would have had to have walked 25 miles, which was a full day's journey. So Jesus is approaching Nain around dusk, which would have been the typical time when Jewish funerals took place. So could you imagine, after a long day of walking, maybe it was hot, maybe the sun was blasting, maybe it was rainy, maybe you had to walk 25 miles in the rain. Could you imagine, after having walked a full day's journey, now all of a sudden, you see the town gate right there where you can almost touch it. What's the last thing that you're thinking about doing? Prolonging your journey. You've just walked 25 miles, and to top it off, you've had the paparazzi following you the entire time. Like flashbulbs going off everywhere, people running up to Jesus, taking selfies and posting it on their accounts. It says that a large crowd was following Jesus throughout the entire day. Could you imagine what that would have been like? You would have been exhausted. You see the town gate, the only thing you can think about is lying down in your bed in the hotel room, maybe throwing on Netflix, taking a bubble bath, maybe posting a selfie of you at the town gate, made it. Like, you can almost feel the bed. The last thing that you're thinking about doing is prolonging your journey. Yet what does Jesus do? He stops. He approaches this mother who has just lost her only son. Me and Steph, oftentimes, we'll go drive back to Pittsburgh. That's where her family is from. It's about an eight-hour journey. Now, depending on how often you stop or how long you stop, I like to take a long stop at the Barnes & Noble along the way, and I can get lost in a bookstore for a very long time. Now, when I get to the end of this trip, and I start driving through the city of Pittsburgh, I know I only have about 15 minutes, maybe a half hour left. The only thing I'm thinking of at that point, once the skyline is right there in front of me, is getting out of this car that I've been sitting in, out of this tube of metal that I've been sitting in for 8 hours, and going and relaxing in her parents' home. The last thing I'm thinking about doing when I see Pittsburgh in front of me is stopping a funeral procession or stopping for anyone, for that matter. I don't care who it is on the side of the road. There is no way I'm stopping. I just want to get to where I'm going so that I can get out of this car and I can relax. This is the same for planes as well. You ever land somewhere and the flight attendant will be like, everyone stay seated until we get to the gate. Yeah, good luck on that one. No, the last thing you want is to stay in your seat. You have an agenda. You have a schedule. You have dinner plans. You have family that you haven't seen in a while. You have a place to go. You had an expectation. Oh, as soon as I land, I'm going to go and do this. The last thing that you want to do is prolong your journey. Yet this is what we see Jesus doing. Jesus, who was willing to be interrupted by a need that he saw in front of him. Jesus, who wasn't so focused on his schedule, on his agenda, on what he had to do, that he was blind to what was happening all around him. Anyone else want to live like this? Because I read this story, and it challenges me. And it makes me think about all the times that I've just blown my way past people. People in pain, people in need, because I have an agenda, because I have my schedule, because I've managed my time so well and I have no room for anyone else. I read this story and I can't help but think about all the times that someone has come to my mind. And I think, man, I should see how they're doing. I should send them a text, should give them a call, send them an email, write them a card. We should go and grab coffee. And then I get caught up in the next thing, and I've forgotten all about the person that I was going to call. Yeah, this story challenges me. And it makes me think, oh, I want to be the type of person who is willing to be interrupted, who is willing to be interrupted for some of the needs that I see in front of me, willing to be interrupted to show love and care and concern to the people that I'm passing as I walk through my day. I remember a couple of years ago when I was in seminary, me and one of my friends, after a class, we went up and we approached our professor because we had a whole bunch of different things swirling around inside of us about our lives, about some things that we were discovering about ourselves, about us wrestling through some of the material that we were covering. And we really needed someone to help us walk through what we were going through. Someone who was a little older, someone who had that experience of what we were going through currently. And so I remember we walked into our professor's office and we were sitting there talking with him for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden he looks down at his watch and he realizes that he's going to be late for a dinner appointment. So he calls up, I think he called his wife, and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know, I'm going to be running a few minutes late. I'll be there, but I'm going to be about 15 minutes late or so." So he hangs up the phone, and of course, we thank him. "Oh, thank you so much for giving us this time." And he stops. He just looks at us, looks us straight in the eye, and he says, "This conversation matters. This conversation is important." Now, of course, he could have just said, "You know what? We're going to have to finish this another time. I got to go." And sometimes that is the right thing you have to do. I'm not advocating to put your family last. I don't know. Proper boundaries are extremely important. But at this particular moment, he was willing to be interrupted. He was willing to give us 15 minutes of his time because he could tell that we were really going through it. Like, we were really struggling with something, and we needed someone to give us some wisdom and guidance and to help walk us through what we were facing. Now, how do you think we felt when we walked out of his office? Like we mattered. Like we were important. Like we were valued. Like we were loved. Or we were welcomed into his life because he was willing to create space for us in his life. Yeah, any time that anyone has allowed themselves to be interrupted in order to give of themselves to you, it's made you feel valued. It's made you feel welcomed and loved and like you matter. And I often wonder if this light speed movement that we walk through the world with, if it actually prevents us from being open to interruptions. I often wonder if in this over-time-managed world that we live in, where we're so focused on our calendar and our schedules and our agenda, if we actually have the space in our lives to be interrupted, to give someone 5 minutes, to ask someone, "How are you doing?" And not just as a formality, but actually wanting to know. And then asking that follow-up question. See, I think this is why people wanted to be around Jesus all the time. Because when Jesus was talking to them, his focus, his attention was directly on them. It wasn't anywhere else. It wasn't thinking about the game later on that night or what he had to do next. His focus, his attention was strictly on that person and on the time that he had with them. Yeah, I often wonder if this is why people wanted to be around Jesus, because when they were around him, they really felt like they mattered. They really felt like they were valued and they were important, that someone would actually pause and slow down enough to fully be with them. I think whenever there was someone who was in the presence of Jesus, they experienced the unconditional love and grace of God simply by the way in which Jesus lived his life. being in the presence of Jesus was a healing and life-giving encounter. And it all started with his willingness to be interrupted, with his willingness to slow down. I think Jesus moved with this acute awareness of all that was happening around him. He paid attention. He wasn't just going from one block of the calendar to the next, but he was moving slowly enough to actually see the faces of the people that he was passing. If you notice, Luke tells us that Jesus saw this woman. What do you think he saw? A bunch of tears streaming down her face? Maybe her staring off in the distance with just a blank look on her face? Maybe her face was just directed downwards, kind of shuffling her feet as she moved along. And he noticed that she was by herself. And then it says that he was moved, that the Greek actually says that he was moved within his innards to act. Have you ever experienced, have you ever witnessed, maybe you heard a story, you saw something on TV, something so tragic that it did something within you, that it made you feel a certain way within? Almost as if there is this gut-wrenching feeling within your soul, and you're like, oh, I have to do something that just isn't right. This is what Jesus experienced. And then he acted on that. See, when I think about us here at Awaken, I believe that we can become those types of people. I believe that we truly can become a people who, when others experience us, when others spend time with us, there's a healing that takes place. When others are in our presence, that they would feel this unconditional love and grace. I truly believe that we can become those people who live and move just as Jesus did. People who are willing to be interrupted. People who aren't so focused on our agendas and schedules that we have no time or space for anyone else. But people who are moving through the world slow enough to be aware of what's happening around us, to be aware of the people that we're passing. I think the sad reality is that so often it's actually the people closest to us who take the brunt of the hyperspeed that we live in, because we begin to take those closest to us for granted. So my prayer for us at Awaken is that this is who we would become. People who have a healing, life-giving presence to give the world. So I want to make this really practical for us this morning. So I have two questions for us to think about. And the first, very practical question. As you've been sitting there right now, as you've been thinking through this, is there anyone who you need to call, email, or get together with? Maybe there's been someone who's been on your mind throughout the week, on and off, and you've just kind of, I'm going to get to it. And it's just kind of been pushed to the side. As you're sitting here right now, is there anyone who comes to mind that you just need to check in with? Hey, how are you doing? How's it going? Been thinking about you. The thing that I've learned, what I've come to realize, that you never know what someone is going through. And sometimes just a simple call, a simple text message, a simple, hey, I'm praying for you, I'm with you. Man, it can have such a powerful effect on people. I think we've gotten really good at learning to hide our pain. And what we all want is a safe place where we can be real and where we can experience welcome and embrace regardless of what we're going through. And so sometimes just an extending an offer, hey, how you doing, can be the very thing that someone needs Then the second question, are there any ways that you can move through life with a greater awareness to the people that you're passing? So I understand this one's going to take a little bit of work. Are there any ways that you can learn to move a little slower? Are there any ways that you can learn to live with a greater awareness? For me, a couple things that have been helping me recently is I've been trying to pay attention to people's faces more. I've been trying to pick up on what is it that people aren't communicating but that their faces are showing. Or what about, you know, sometimes people say things and there's something that comes that's under the surface there. Because you can say something, but then there's something underneath that. So I've been trying to pay attention to what is it that people are really saying. And I've been trying to ask the follow-up question or a second follow-up question. And just taking 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, shooting an email here, there. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? And the other thing is actually paying attention to what people say. So a couple of weeks ago, I knew that this person, one of their family members, was going through a very difficult time where they've been sick for a while. And so I went up and I asked this person, I said, hey, I just want to know, how is so-and-so doing? Now, I didn't actually hear what the person said about how their family member was doing because I had so many other things on my mind. And I knew what I had to go and do. I had to get this done and that done. And so I just simply said, oh, that's good, and started walking away. Which at that point I realized that they said, they're actually not doing well. I felt like the biggest jerk. So I turned around, I apologized, and I started asking a few other questions. But it hit me. I'm just moving way too fast. I'm asking, how is so-and-so doing? But it's just a formality. It's just to try to give the appearance of, oh, yeah, well. And I said at that point, I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to learn to move a little slower. I'm going to learn to pay attention to what people are saying. I'm not just going to blow through a conversation with someone. But I'm going to learn to give my full attention to whoever it is that I'm talking to. So that's what I'm learning to do. That's how I'm learning to move a little slower and live with a greater awareness to what's happening. But what is it for you? Maybe there's someone this week that you realize that you've been pushing aside. Maybe it's a group of people, and you just need to carve out some space in your life this week for that particular person. Maybe it's just learning to say hi to all those faces that you pass on a regular daily basis. I don't know what it is for you. But then here's the other thing. Sometimes we hear this, and we can get so overwhelmed because, oh my goodness, I can't be stopping for everyone. I can't live with no boundaries. I need to get some work done. I can't constantly be interrupted. There's only so much a person can handle. And of course, every single season's a little bit different. One of the great things about the life of Jesus is that Jesus knew his boundaries. And so when you read through the Gospels, you'll constantly hear, and then Jesus went off to a hill to go be by himself and pray. The crowds were pushing in on Jesus, and instead of turning and talking and addressing them, he got into a boat and he went to the complete opposite side of the lake. So Jesus knew his boundaries. So boundaries are extremely, extremely important. Because here's the deal. If you live with no boundaries, you will become extremely bitter and you will become the exact opposite type of person that we're talking about here. So boundaries are very important. When you're on a plane, what do they tell you? When the oxygen mask, if it so happens to deploy, comes down, first put your mask on and then help the person next to you. Because if you are dead, you cannot help the person next to you. Yeah, brilliant, right? So learn to take care of yourselves. Learn boundaries. Learn those times when you just need to be off and you just need to be by yourself on a hill or you need to get in a boat and go to the other side because the needs are just too pressing. The way to have this life-giving, healing effect of welcoming people into your life, it all starts by taking care of yourself. So this morning, anyone that you need to call, email, anyone that's coming to mind right now, and then what are some practices that you can put into your life in order to live with a greater awareness of what's happening in the world around you. Let me pray here for us. God, we come to you this morning. And God, we want to be people of welcome. God, we want to be people of love. God, we want to be people who are willing to be interrupted. God, we want to be people who aren't blind to the needs around us, but rather, God, we want to be people who are able to enter into others' lives. God, we want to be people who show others their great value. God, how loved and important people are. So God, I pray that as we think through this, God, that we would continue learning to be people who move through life a little slower. God, people who move through life a little more aware of what others are going through. God, and as we do that, may they experience the unconditional love and grace of Christ. God, I pray that our lives would have a healing effect on people. God, I pray that your love, God, that we would be conduits of your love. God, that your love would flow through us simply by the way in which we live our lives. So if there's any ways that we've just been moving too fast through life, God, where we've been too focused on our schedules and our agendas, God, I pray that you would reveal those ways to us. God, we read this story of Jesus, and my prayer for us is that each day we would become a little more like Jesus. God, that we would continue to be covered in his dust. God, and that we would be aware of the people that we're passing on a regular basis. So use our lives. God, may your love be evidenced through how it is that we show up in the world. So we pray and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.